Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the internet marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Friday, September 7th, 2018, and this is episode 228 of The Big Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really do appreciate the fact that you come back and join us week after week. I would like to, as ever, start by thanking our sponsor, Solo Segment. Solo Segment focuses on site search analytics that unlock revenue, and they focus on AI-driven content discovery for your businesses. So you can really look at how you improve search results and improve customer satisfaction for your business. You can check them out at solosegment.com. Now, I'm really excited today because, as I do periodically, I've got a guest this week, and we're going to be talking with somebody who's really cool and really smart and knows a ton about content marketing, and that's Jason Fried of Duetto. Now, Jason has been with Duetto since June of 2015. He's their managing editor, which I think is fascinating that a software company has hired a managing editor to focus on reporting and writing and editing news and information about the company to help tell the company's story most effectively. Jason is really passionate about content marketing. He's really passionate about hotel technology. He works in the hotel industry, obviously. And he has some truly unique perspectives on hotel distribution and revenue management best practices. But more importantly, he has tremendous insights into how you use content marketing to grow your business. So without further ado, I'm going to start our interview with Jason Fried. So Jason, thanks so much for joining me today. I'm here with Jason Fried, who is the managing editor of Duetto's marketing department. And Jason, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
My pleasure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do, things like that.
Yeah, sure. So I am the managing editor at Duetto. Duetto is a hotel technology company. We provide software as a service to the industry to help them better collect analytics, and then price the rooms based on those analytics. I've been there about 3 years, a little over 3 years, and I came from the journalism side. So I was in the newspaper industry for about 10 years, and, you know, kind of a sad industry at that time. I think a lot of you'll find a lot of people in my boat who, you know, wanted, really liked working at the newspaper and wanted to be a journalist and just, you know, couldn't feed their family on it. So that's where I ended up looking into B2B magazines, and I became a B2B editor. And my first gig was writing about hotels and covering the hospitality industry. And I really enjoyed it. Picked up on it quickly. I mean, it's a very obviously hospitable industry.
we try.
Right? Right, yeah. So everybody was welcoming and, you know, able to sort of teach me. And interviews went super smooth. And, you know, I really gravitated toward hotel technology and, you know, really enjoyed the space and learning about it and writing about it. And, you know, and then I think as Duetto was looking to build out its content marketing strategy, they looked to find an editor, somebody who was good with wordsmithing. And I think it was a great fit for both of us.
That's awesome. It's really interesting that a company like Duetto went ahead and brought somebody in, you know, who was a journalist by trade, right? You know, can you talk a little bit about how that played out? You know, what was their thinking around content marketing that said, you know what, we really don't want to go with a marketer. We want to go with a journalist to do this. You know, what's your take on that anyway?
Yeah, sure. So I think they wanted somebody who knew the space. It's sort of a tough industry to learn. I think, as you know, it's so fragmented. There's so many pieces and parts. I mean, I think it took me a couple years just to understand the whole relationship between management departments and ownership and brands and franchises. And right. I think they wanted somebody to come in who at least knew the basics. of that. And then, you know, I think it was important for them to, you know, they really wanted to build themselves as thought leaders in the space. So, you know, to do that, they wanted somebody who understood the challenges and the pain points that the industry was facing. And then, it wasn't going to be a huge learning curve to sort of understand that stuff.
That makes a ton of sense. So can you talk a bit about why you think content marketing, and this can be, you know, Jason's point of view, this can be Duetto's point of view, right? But why do you think content marketing is valuable in the space? Why do you think content marketing is something that, you know, is so important for Duetto and for what you do?
Well, I would hope that my take on it and Duetto's take on it is similar, at least, or somewhat aligned.
As the managing editor, you think that's important,
Right. I mean, first of all, I think it's just the basics for any company. Spelling, if you've got a spelling error on your website, it's horrible. Accuracy, then it gets more important. Like, you want your website content to be attention grabbing and clean. But more importantly, then if you're good at it, it starts to get a little bit more challenging. I mean, you look at brand awareness and messaging alignment. You know, you want your messaging on social media and your blog and even at events on, what's displayed at the events and even your sales collateral that you're putting together. You want that messaging sort of aligned. So It's, you got to start thinking a little bit more strategically about, how you want to position the company. And then I think, lastly, as I was mentioning for Duetto, it was important for them to sort of build a thought leadership campaign and, be recognizable out in the industry at events and in trade magazines. And, that way when people are thinking about getting something to help them with solve their pain points, you come to mind. But I did want to note on that thought leadership point that you can't fake it, right? So that's why I was glad to join Duetto, a company that I had worked with in the past that I knew, they weren't smoke and mirrors. They weren't just out there like trying to push some content and they really didn't have a product to back it up. So, you can't, and Patrick and Marco, the co-founders of Duetto, are just so passionate about the industry and they come from the industry and they know the industry and they're, so smart people that I felt I wasn't getting myself into a situation where I would be writing puff pieces, if you will.
Right. That's a really interesting point because I know one of the things people talk about with content marketing a lot is this idea of authenticity, right? So, here you are talking about thought leadership and these folks were authentically and are authentically thought leaders, right? It's not we're going to generate thought leadership or we're going to, pretend to be thought leaders. I mean, they definitely had a perspective and a point of view. Is that something you would think is true? I know this is an incredibly leading question.
No. Yeah. I mean, for me, I think there are companies out there that are trying to fake it. And I mean, I'm not going to name names because I don't even know any off the top of my head, but easily recognizable. You can see it, right? Like,
right.
These people were, they could have been writing the content themselves, right? They're smart enough to, they're smarter than I am when it comes to this stuff, but they just don't have the time to be producing.
Right. They're busy running a company, right?
Yes, exactly.
Right. That's fantastic. So apart from the authenticity thing, and you can certainly double down on this if you want to, but I mean, apart from that, what are some common mistakes you see when people think about their content marketing, when people think about how they create content to tell their brand story, what are the mistakes you see folks make?
Yeah. Well, it's funny, coming from the journalism world and, learning AP style and, all the spelling and grammar and punctuation that you learn, you see mistakes in copy all over the world, right? Like even on signage, I'm walking through somewhere and I'm like, oh, that apostrophe shouldn't be there or that should be a semicolon.
Right.
It's like, so those are really common mistakes that you see almost every day.
Right.
But then mistakes that, I think some content marketers fall into some traps maybe is using all aggregated content, right? If you're just like picking content from various places and aggregating it into a newsletter and sending it out, maybe there's some benefit to that, but there's probably a little bit more benefit to doing something unique, spending some time on putting together some content that people can't get anywhere else.
Right. So being original, bringing something else to the conversation beyond just, you know, yeah, hey, here's a list of links.
I think so. I mean, and then again, back to what we were just talking about, content. You can have content people who don't understand the business that they're writing about, and that's not going to work. It's not going to work out. You need to give your content people access to, you know, whether it's leadership in the industry or leadership in the company or the product people in the company. You know, they need to be able to have those conversations and be able to ask questions so that they understand the messaging that should come across.
Right. So having, I mean, things like this, kind of like do interviews or do just have discussions with them about the thing, even if the person you're talking to won't be the one creating the content, at least sort of plumb their knowledge, right?
That's like a big thing that I'll probably keep going back to. It's really important. And I feel fortunate that, you know, I can ping the co-founders of my company, like at any time and just say, hey, I've got this quick question. And, you know, if they don't know the answer, they'll say, you know, they'll put me in contact with the VP of product or the VP of engineering. Mm-hmm. And I can ask that question. And I mean, that's immensely helpful, right? Like, I couldn't imagine being stuck in a position where it was just like, we need you to create the message and we need you to, you know, just write and just push out like blog and collateral. But We're not going to give you any information on what the product is and where we want to position ourselves in the space. And so having access and being in those conversations is immensely helpful.
That's fantastic. That's really cool. I mean, is there anything else that you can recommend, you know, that marketers who are handling their content marketing ought to be doing differently from what they're doing, right? Apart from that.
Yeah. So, you know, I think just to build on that a little bit, you know, that building on the access to leadership thing would be just allowing your content team to collaborate with the other departments, especially within marketing, you know, even if it's graphic design or paid search or whatever other departments in marketing there are. Collaborate with those so that everybody is sort of on the same message or at least aligned on the same page. You know, it might be even like the logo of the company. You know, if the person designing the logo sort of understands the message and you understand the message, and the, you know, the sort of the unique differentiators for your company, it just helps. It helps everybody sort of build a coordinated strategy.
That makes a ton of sense. Hey, just out of curiosity, I mean, can you talk a little bit about like your content calendar process or things like that? You know, how do you come up with what do you talk about and the like?
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's an ongoing conversation and we're always trying to improve it. I'm actually having those conversations as we speak. We use Google Docs for our content calendar. So it's in the cloud and shared with everybody. Anybody on the marketing team has access to it. I started it as sort of an editorial calendar where we were just putting like blogs and press releases and white papers on there. But it's grown into sort of more of a content calendar that includes, you know, events and, you know, just aligning, like I said, aligning all the other different people that fall under the marketing umbrella as well. So now we've got, you know, speaking opportunities and all that stuff sort of on the same calendar. And that allows us to, we're trying to get to a point where, you know, we've got 4 or 5 or 6 core topics that we want to discuss throughout the year. And let's have all this content aligned along that same messaging, whether it's, you know, our unique differentiators or OTAs in the space or, you know, cloud technology, you know, having sort of all of our pieces aligned along that same topic.
Does it allow for you to, it sounds like when you're talking, you've got four or five or six core topics that you want to talk about over the course of the year. I assume, and again, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so tell me if I got this wrong, but I assume that then allows you some flexibility and freedom. If something comes up, you know, Google announces a new thing or Expedia announces a new thing or something along those lines, that allows you an opportunity to say, well, we can't talk about that because we don't have room in the calendar because we've, you know, planned this thing out to death. I mean, is that right? Or is there another way to think about that?
It's currently we're at the opposite end of the spectrum. We're more, we're more flexible than we are structured. I'd like to get to a point where we're more structured, but yeah, I mean, I'm writing blogs the day before that need to go.
I wouldn't know anything about that. We're not going to say what the date is today when this episode airs.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So, you know, I guess I was speaking from a point where I'd like to get to with the editorial calendar. It's not quite there yet. I mean, sure, we've got long-term plans and quarterly plans and monthly plans, but we've also, we're also very flexible day to day. You know, mm-hmm. you and I were at the Hotel Data Conference recently, yep. and I'm still writing amazing coverage from that. That, you know, I thought some of those panels and you know, the speakers really were thinking outside of the box a little bit, and I really enjoyed some of that. So I mean, like that just happened, and I've got to turn that stuff around for.
You know, speaking of, I know we've been talking about content marketing, but I'm going to shift the conversation for a minute because you've been around hotel and hotel tech for so long. I mean, I'd love to hear your thoughts on, you know, what's going on with the future of the industry, because I think that that's appropriate across a lot of sectors too, right? You know, where do you see things going? Or where do you see some things that people ought to be paying attention to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I, you know, to your point, I think you're seeing a lot of industries going through shifts or evolving, if you will, because of digital and the role of technology. I mean, you know, the obvious examples that everybody points to are Uber and Amazon and Airbnb, I think, in the hotel space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I do think the industry is sort of at a tipping point where it's going to evolve, you know, rapidly, like all those other industries did. I'm not saying I can predict the future and know what's going to happen, but I mean, seriously, Tim, think about when we used to have to call a cab. I mean, think about like you dial this 800 number and you get a dispatcher and you tell them your address, and you're lucky if it's an hour. You know, it's probably the next day. I mean, you got to call in advance, get a ride to the airport. Right. And all that has just changed. And it's just like the click of a button. And not that hotels and hospitality is ever going to become the click of a button, but I do see it evolving. I see it, mm-hmm. I see the leisure space evolving. And I do think mm-hmm. it's a little bit because the Airbnb, I think they're, are times for the leisure traveler, oftentimes for the leisure traveler, when booking an Airbnb or something similar makes more sense than booking a hotel. I mean,
sure. Oh yeah.
It's
sure,
just,
sure.
You're just in a more comfortable environment. You've got more space. You've got the kitchen. You can cook. You can, you know, if you're on the beach or whatever, you'd rather be in a home than a hotel. Now, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, all I was going to say was I completely agree with that. I mean, I obviously do a lot of work in the hotel space. I'm very pro hotel. I try to do what's right for hotel owners and managers every chance I get. I also had the opportunity a few years back, 2 years ago, I think, I was doing work in Paris over a 3-week period. So I was there several weekends in a row. And I was fortunate enough to be able to bring my daughters over for a couple of days over a weekend. And, you know, I've got two teenage daughters. Obviously, they need their space. They need privacy, things like that. We were able to get an Airbnb in a fantastic location where they could have their own room. I could have my own room. It worked out great. We had a kitchen. My one daughter is vegan, which, you know, we weren't sure going in how that was going to work out in Paris. As it happens, Paris has a wonderful vegan food culture, mm-hmm. too. I shouldn't have been surprised, but hadn't really thought about it much. And it was way, way less expensive, unfortunately, for hotel owners than renting two hotel rooms, right? I mean, so it just worked out really, really well. And it was absolutely appropriate trip for that kind of an experience, right? We could come and go as we wanted. There was lots of flexibility in how, you know, if we just wanted to pad around the apartment for part of the day, you know, because the girls were jet lagged or things like that, it worked out really well. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be times where those are appropriate trips.
Yeah, totally agree. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Like some people are saying, oh, the hotel industry is going away. No, it's not. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, group business is such a huge base of business for the industry. And then meetings, you know, meetings business and business travelers are always going to want hotels. What I'm afraid of is they're going to lose a little bit of that leisure business. Unless they sort of find a way to adapt or evolve and, you know, make the booking experience easier and more personal. And, you know, that's a real challenge, like making that stuff easy in an industry that's very fragmented and struggles with integrating technology. I mean, that's like almost making a monumental shift for the industry.
Right.
I don't know. I feel that we need to step on the gas a little bit and start thinking about this.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. That's awesome.
Back to that Paris story, Tim, anytime you mention Airbnb, you get like a similar story of like somebody who had a great experience there, you know, and that's right. Building, you know, we talk about building brand awareness. That's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. Marketing, which is the best kind of marketing you can get, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
And,
absolutely.
I stayed in one when we were in Nashville. It wasn't an Airbnb. It was very interesting. It was like a hybrid Airbnb hotel, right? So it was an old apartment building that had like 25 apartments in it, and they had just bought it and converted it into sort of this. Hotel, but there was no front desk. You just kind of you book, and then they send you a code, and you punch the code in to get in the door. They don't have on staff housekeeping. I think they like sort of outsource it from somebody. And you know, I started thinking, wow, this makes so much more sense from an investment standpoint. You know, you have this owner, and then this operator, and then this brand, and then. It's all these fragmented pieces, you know, that each take their parts of profitability. So I don't know. I just see sort of some evolution happening there.
No, that makes a ton of sense. Well, it reminds me, I wasn't familiar with this. This is really cool. It reminds me, if you've ever used Breather for conference rooms, right? Not to name drop or brand drop. I have no relationship with them, but it's very much the same thing. They're just, you know, in the cities where they exist, they are, you know, random conference rooms and random office buildings that Breather, I guess, leases. And then you have an app and you say, I want this room at this time. And it's usually a fairly inexpensive price. And you get a code to unlock the door and you just show up and it works out really well. So yeah, it sounds like very much the same thing. But if Breather were imagined as a hotel, that's right. What I always find interesting about this, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about this, Jason, is, you know, I think people don't yet recognize how much disruption is yet to come, right? You know, you look back over the last 10 or 15 or 20 years of digital and people say, well, my God, we've come so far. But, you know, we don't have everybody in the world connected all the time, right? People still have to reach into their pocket and pull out their phone as opposed to a voice interface or as opposed to something that's a little more invisible from a process perspective, that I think we're going to see a lot of behavioral changes still. I mean, I'd just be curious for your thoughts on that.
That's heavy, Tim. That's deep. No, I mean, I totally agree. It's one thing you mentioned that just jumped out at me is connecting people globally, I think is huge. Yeah. I mean, I can use my Amazon Echo and call like my mom who's, you know, in 1,000 miles away from me, but I can't, I can't call somebody in Asia on it yet. I mean, like connecting people around the globe, you know, as we become a global company, it becomes so much more important. You know, I want to be able to talk to the editors that I work with in Singapore, more easily, you know, that's like such a challenge. I think it's getting, like, the communication part is getting better. Obviously, we've got all these chat programs that you can use. I'm not on WeChat, but I know everybody uses it. But no, in terms of bigger things, I mean, it's all happening so fast. That's what's crazy about it, right? Look where we were 10 years ago. You know, we didn't have any of the stuff we had. Netflix. I mean, it's crazy. Crazy how fast it's all moving.
No doubt. Makes perfect sense. That's awesome. And Jason, you know, as we wrap up here, you know, what would be your number one takeaway for people listening to this conversation? You know, what would you want them to walk away going, oh, that's definitely something I want to know?
Not to be too self-centered on this one, but don't think content marketing people are just writing their blog and, you know, or just, just bloggers. You know, make sure that they are involved with other parts of the marketing strategy and team, and because they should be making sure that your content is accurate and on message across all the channels and across all the mediums on all the content that you put out.
Fantastic. Jason Fried, thank you so much for taking the time today. I really appreciate the conversation. Really good talking with you. And I know I'll see you out there as we're out and about in the industry.
Absolutely, Tim. Thanks so much for having me.
So thanks so much for your time. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But once again, I want to thank Jason Fried for joining us. I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. You can also find us on Spotify or iTunes or Stitcher Radio or Google Podcasts or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just do a search for Thinks Out Loud. You should find us there. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter, or you can send me an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that is podcast@TimPeter.com. And in addition to thanking Jason, I do want to thank our sponsor, Solo Segment. They focus on site search analytics and AI-driven content discovery to unlock revenue, improve search results, and improve customer satisfaction. You can learn all about them at solosegment.com. Now, in addition to thanking Jason and thanking Solo Segment, most of all, I really want to thank you. I really appreciate the fact that you tune in week after week and listen to the show and provide comments and send me emails and all of those great things. I encourage you to do that as you go forward, but I really do want to let you know how much it means to me that you are here week after week. So with that, I hope you have a fantastic weekend, a wonderful week ahead, and I will look forward to talking with you again here on Thinks Out Loud again next week. Until then, take care, everybody.